In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe,
American hero.
G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra, the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe,
American hero.
G.I. Joe is there.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Video. Well, actually, I was about to say CryptoCast. That was like my knee-jerk reaction for talking about cartoons. But we are not talking about the Max Fleischer Superman series this time. We are talking about a real American hero.
Yo, Joe!
Yo, Joe! I'm your host, David Snyder. Welcome back to Apocalypse Video, another installment of... I'm a little rusty. It's been a little bit since, like, it's a little behind the scenes. So technically, you, the audience, heard a CryptoCast not too long ago. But for us, we recorded that, like, Jesus Christ, a long time ago, like over a year ago, I think at this point. Like, Hoof came into the store. We made like a bargain, if I remember, with fruits and vegetables and shit. And I think Taco Bell, that was the origin of the Taco Bell connection with Hoof and Apocalypse Video. But that was such a long time ago. It was interesting putting those episodes out and hearing them again. This is fresh. We are recording this right now. This wasn't done over a year ago. This is fresh. And it's kind of impromptu, folks. We're just dumping this out there. We had so much fun talking about those cartoons and releasing them, and they had a good reaction amongst the people in the wasteland. That we decided to give you more. We wanted more cartoons. We wanted to keep this train rolling. We didn't want to leave it dead with the CryptoCast. We wanted to resurrect it, and We just love talking about cartoons. Hoof, you awakened something in me that I didn't quite know was there. I mean, I've always loved cartoons, but just like, I don't know, like something about, it's such a different, it feels like a different type of conversation talking about like 20-minute cartoons as opposed to like 2-hour movies and stuff. It's just, somehow it's a different vibe.
You used an analogy before of like a diet and what kind of entertainment you're consuming or whatever, and then this... Cartoons are kind of special. I think they're kind of like candy too, like something else
yes.
We talked about in the past. But yeah, they're quick snacks. Like, so they're just so easy to digest. You just 20 minutes of your life is not anything really, and they're usually a blast. I mean, you just go along for the ride, and you get a lot of jokes that either play right or play wrong, but either way, they're funny. And yeah, there's so many cartoons. It's endless, the cartoons that are out there. So there's so many opportunities for us to talk about. And I'm really excited about this episode because we're talking about a show that is extremely popular, probably one of the most popular cartoons of all time. And but I've actually never had too much experience with this cartoon for whatever reason. So I'm jumping in the deep end, I think.
Same here. And we have a shitload of G.I. Joe. Spoiler, folks, if you couldn't tell. We're talking about G.I. Joe in this episode.
Yo!
And yeah, we have a ton of tapes in the store, and this is the same with you. This is a huge blind spot with me. I was obviously aware of G.I. Joe growing up, and I think my brother had some of the toys. Like, I remember the toys for G.I. Joe were particularly cool because they were, I'm not talking like the big, you know, 12-inch giant doll G.I. Joes. I'm talking the tiny, like, what were they, like 4.5 or 6-inch toys or something. They had, I remember the thing with G.I. Joe was, they were like fully posable. Like, they had like what looked like little rubber bands, like in their arm sockets and stuff. And they were really posable. And that was always my favorite part of G.I. Joe's.
Oh yeah. They had the cool joint action.
is that what they
labeled
it? Cool
technology
joint action.
an action figure technology.
It was a huge leap, and I always just loved that. Because, like, it was one thing, I mean, I loved playing with, like, you know, Spider-Man and X-Men toys and all that, or Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys, but they weren't fully posable. They moved up and down, like, the arms, and that was it. They didn't go diagonal and all this other shit. Like, one of my favorite things to do as a kid was, and mind you, I never watched the show. I just played with the toys. It was really interesting. Like, my favorite thing to do with G.I. Joe toys, the little tiny ones, was to do, like, roundhouse kicks because their legs were fully posable. I couldn't do a roundhouse kick with, like, my giant, like, Wolverine.
Yeah, you could only do, with standard action figures, you could only do the tornado-type kicks with that are famous in Street Fighter, that you could just spin them around and they just kick straight ahead of them. But
yeah,
but with the G.I. Joe, you could get that Van Damme roundhouse kick action going on.
And that was so important as a kid, roundhouse kicks.
I mean, when you're a kid, you have to play out every type of different fighting scenario.
Definitely.
You have to do all the scenes that you saw in all the movies. And yeah, roundhouse kicks were hard to do because the action figure technology wasn't really there yet. So you could only get it. I think G.I. Joe is, I think you're right.
And it's fitting we talk about toys in this first of what will be a G.I. Joe double feature here in Apocalypse Video. We're talking about Season 1, Episode 39 of G.I. Joe, Cobra Claws Are Coming to Town. And as I said, it's very fitting we're talking about toys because this is an episode that begins with the Joes, like, getting, like, a toy delivery for, I guess, like, kids in a children's hospital or something, right?
Yeah,
they have like a wagon of toys in the back that they're hauling.
Yeah, their wagon literally says Happy Holiday Wagon on it.
Hey, Shipwreck, where's your holiday spirit?
Yeah, let's have some Yuletide cheer. We collected enough toys to beat last year's record.
They're going
to
make the kids at Children's Hospital real happy.
We're introduced to the idea, and this is the first episode of G.I. Joe that I have ever seen.
Same here.
And
so we're going to get the characters' names wrong, or we don't know them all.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, so I looked up this trivia because I was dying to know after watching this episode, but do you know what a Cobra Claw is, Dave?
No, what is that?
So that's one of the Cobra's flying devices. So, because I was wondering after
we
watched
the little
the episode,
ball
like,
rocket pack things?
What does this mean? But yeah, they have a lot of vehicles in the show, so Cobra Claw is one of their vehicles, but that's what the title's referring to, even though it's not, they don't really make a big deal about it in the episode. So I wanted to find out the truth.
The hidden truth of G.I. Joe. Yeah, a lot of toys in this episode. Not just, like I was just watching the show because I remember watching that Netflix documentary, The Toys That Made Us, for G.I. Joe. And the entire show was just an impetus for making toys, like the cartoon and the comics, all because they wanted to re-up the G.I. Joe toy line. Because at the time, if I remember, before the show came out, G.I. Joe's, like, the toys just weren't selling anymore. It's like they needed something. Like, in the 80s, it was a big thing to have a cartoon to sell your product. Like, that was just paramount. You needed that. And I think, I mean, there was other shows like Transformers and He-Man, and I'm sure we will touch on those shows at some point in the future as we continue this Apocalypse Video Saturday morning cartoon tradition. I want it to become a tradition. It's hard to say not having seen those shows. But just watching this show, I definitely get a sense that this might be the best of the cartoons that were made just to sell toys. Because there are so many potential toys in this episode. You mentioned the Cobra Claws. There's also the hang glider things, and just every vehicle is a toy. Like, I'm watching the episode and pointing it out. I'm like, that was probably a toy. That was a toy. That was a toy. That was a toy.
So, Dave, you know, I'm kind of a collector. I collect certain things. You know, I love action figures. I love toys. I think they're so cool. from the design perspective to just be feeling like a kid, nostalgia perspective, I love it all. But like we said, I didn't really watch G.I. Joe when I was a kid. I'm familiar with quite a few 80s shows. Thundercats is one of my all-time favorite shows. I've seen every single episode of the original Transformers, but I didn't watch any G.I. Joe because as a kid, I had always thought it was just like regular guys. And I was like, I didn't really care. I wasn't anti-war when I was a kid or anything like that, but I was just like, it just seems like regular guys or whatever. But seeing these two episodes that we watched, I was like, I wonder which toys I would want to get if I was, I want to get a Destro figure. I think I want to get a Destro figure because Destro is badass.
You don't want a Shipwreck figure with his matching parrot?
He has a bad attitude. Bah, humbug.
There was like the characters in this show as I'm watching it, I'm just like, it is so ridiculous. It's like each character is basically a stereotype. Like, here's cowboy guy, here's village people guy. It's just like, it's insane. Like, and it makes sense. It's just like, you know, they don't have, I can't imagine they have a lot of time for character development in these shows. So it's like, we got to boil it down to one stereotype per character, and that's your character.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But in the best possible way, like watching it now, I am sad that I missed out on the show. I feel like I would have loved this show as a kid, and just because the characters are so dumb. And also, this show is making a point to be very funny. It is trying its best to be as funny as possible. Like, there's like all these jokes with puns, and even a character even references it at one point. It's like, I hate puns. It's just like, I was laughing the entire way through this episode, and not... Well, I guess in an ironic way, I suppose, making fun of it. But, like, I was getting genuine joy from this cartoon.
For sure. I mean, there's a lot here, actually. The episodes are really fast. And so, like, I think if you go back and watch the Turtles cartoon, I don't think that holds up as well. And I think I've seen every episode of Transformers, some of those are a chore. And I'm sure there's some episodes of G.I. Joe that are like that. But the two we watched are definitely not. Like, these are great episodes. And I think that... Like, there's a lot of explosions, there's a lot of action, and I could see
that's
myself
what I was thinking. There's so much action in this show. The fucking, like, opening of the show, I was like, whoa! Like, the first 30 seconds of the theme song, like, explosions, explosions. And one of my favorite parts is there's a moment in the opening, the theme song, when they take Destro, they throw him off of, like, a jet or something, he plummets, and then another Joe grabs him, and then throws him to another Joe, and they just throw him, like, in the opening credits. I'm just like, was that in an episode, or this is just the theme? This is amazing.
I want to watch more. I think we said this right before we started recording, but I think we both feel the same, that we want to see more. So I don't think that this will be the only G.I. Joe episode we do for the show.
Absolutely not. No. And just to give you guys a peek, like, we sort of just, as far as why we chose these two specific episodes, Cobra Claws Are Coming to Town, and what will be the next episode, Skeletons in the Closet.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of just picked these. We kind of sent some feelers out there to the wasteland, and we also dug a little bit into like old lists that people used to make. And these two episodes popped up on some lists as like very memorable episodes. So this, as we said, we had not seen G.I. Joe before. If anyone out there in the wasteland has suggestions for G.I. Joe cartoons we should watch, or really any cartoon, throw them at us on Instagram or Facebook. Apocalypse Video. We loved watching them. Like, as we said, at least for myself, I am really, really enjoying watching these cartoons. It's like bite-sized little candies that you can have, and they make for really fun episodes. But anyway, getting back to G.I. Joe, this episode starts out with a talking parrot.
Your beak, bird, or there's a feather duster in your future.
And suddenly I'm just like, oh, is G.I. Joe I'm getting like a Hanna-Barbera vibe, like, instantly with this parrot. I'm like, is this like indicative of the entire show?
Yeah, we don't know what we're gonna get. First experience of G.I. Joe talking parrot, so we know that the rules are kind of already
which is what I was not expecting. That I was like, this is G.I. Joe, huh? Okay.
So the first thing,
and that parrot comes back, my friend. That was not just a one trick pony. That was not just a sight gag. That parrot comes back.
No, he's a parrot to this episode.
Oh, you should have wrote for G.I. Joe, man. That's hilarious.
But the first thing...
Great pun.
The first thing about this episode that I loved was that... they get ambushed by Cobra, and then but the thing is they go into this like mountain area and they don't notice that this rock door opens up and this guy is just dumping crap in their wagon.
A guy just walks up right behind him, and mind you, like, it's not like they're driving like a giant semi truck where maybe someone could conceivably sneak up behind them. They're just driving like an open Jeep, like with like a little like trailer behind them full of toys. It's just this guy is literally like, I don't know, 8 feet behind them, and yeah. It's all open, and it's just like, and doesn't he even laugh at some point? I swear he's like just dropping off the thing now, like this.
Yeah, he clicks his watch or whatever, and then he sends a signal to this also got me, the pilot of the Cobra, his name was Wild Weasel.
The names of this show are incredible.
I love like, the names are awesome. I was like
in fact the main character driving the holiday welcome wagon, whatever the hell it is for the Joes, is called Cover Girl, and I'm like, what does that name even mean? She takes cover well, like, so what does Cover Girl mean in relation to, like, you know, badass military stuff? I don't get it.
Even the dog has a cool name, Junkyard.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they all have to be toys. You have to sell them as toys.
Yes, I
mommy, I want Cover Girl. But yeah, he drops off this little Trojan rocking horse, as they call it, with like little like robot eyes, you know. And they and Cobra's plan is for this toy to be led into Joe's headquarters, their base. And once they've left the toy, like in their warehouse or whatever, they'll use like a shrink ray. Well, no, the Trojan horse will like blow open, and all these tiny soldiers will pop out, and they'll take over the G.I. Joe base, and then they'll steal their equipment and then start bombing like cities and shit in the name of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, they're going to frame G.I. Joe for a terrorist attack.
And it's, yeah, and we'll get to, well, what I don't understand is it seemed like they could have just posed as, why did they have to go through this whole thing of,
they
like...
They need the equipment. They need the specific special
but
Joe.
But it's, like, this is cartoon logic. They could have just, like, slapped a G.I. Joe logo on some planes and framed G.I. Joe that way, it seems. It seems like they didn't have to go to all this trouble to frame G.I. Joe.
I don't know. As we saw in these two episodes, that plans are really elaborate in this show. Like, this is okay. So Cobra, as we saw in this episode, is a complete idiot, but their plans are super elaborate. So yeah, they shrunk themselves down so they could sneak
that, okay, so yeah, that's not introduced. So the Trojan horse like busts open and all these tiny soldiers come out, and what's great, they like blast up in the air, and then these little mini parachutes come down and they float down to the ground.
Yeah, it's awesome.
These little vehicles come out. And I'm just watching this thinking, like, okay, are these little robots or something? No, those are actual people. They're talking and shit. Like, what is happening right now? And it's not, like, revealed until a little bit later that they were shrunk down with what is called a molecular reducer enlarger.
Yeah. Real unique. That sounds
real unique. But it's just so funny because they don't reveal that gun until kind of later in the episode. So it's like I was almost hoping that they wouldn't explain how they shrunk these soldiers down. And like enough time passed between when that's revealed and when they bust out the, like, I got a shrink ray, that I'm thinking to myself, are they just not going to explain it? And if so, that's kind of brilliant. I actually would have preferred if they didn't explain, like, if it wasn't explained, like, are these little robots? Are these tiny little men that they recruited? Like, I would have just honestly preferred no explanation. It would have made it so much funnier.
if we had seen that, then we would have just been thinking that they can do size, they can control their sizes in the
yeah,
whole
I know.
Series.
Yeah, that's just the thing that the Cobra Commanders do, don't you know?
Yeah. But it's funny because before they break in, they have to have an excuse to go to get to this scene. So they give this character, I forget what his name was, Hound, I think it was. They give him a tragic Christmas backstory just so they can have
oh,
him.
Oh, which
go
makes no fucking sense.
So he's really upset on Christmas because his parents really cared about the holidays, so they didn't pay any attention to him. And
which makes no sense.
He wasn't even able to hang up his own stocking, Dave.
Yeah, his parents, like, they made he says they made such a fuss about the holidays, they never paid any attention to me, which makes no sense. If you're making a fuss about the holidays, it's usually, especially if you have a kid, it's usually about your kid. It's like, oh, we got to get our kid a Christmas present, or this, this, and this.
They were obsessed about the holidays and making sure that everything was perfect and that he wasn't included because he was a kid, so he wouldn't be able to perform to their standards and decorating
but
the house
surely,
and stuff like that.
Surely their fussing about the holidays included the gift-giving aspect of Christmas. If it didn't, it's like, what the fuck is his parents doing?
You're missing the point of Christmas, Dave. It's not about the gifts. It's about the family and about...
Don't get me wrong. As a kid, I enjoyed the whole setup of Christmas with my parents putting the... I mean, I didn't put the lights up. My dad did. But I enjoyed watching him put the lights up. You know, but, like, honestly, as a kid, I didn't give two shits about, like, myself, doing the setup of Christmas. It was about the gifts. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah. That's what I don't understand about this. Like, especially in a G.I. Joe, especially in a cartoon setup to just sell toys.
And you have to imagine that these... these Joes in real life, these guys would be pretty like hard, right? They would be tough and stuff like that. But to give this guy a tragic backstory because he didn't get to decorate at Christmas is really funny.
I thought it was funny though. It's just like if a kid doesn't give two shits about the setting up of Christmas, it's about the presents. And the fact that he was just disappointed he didn't get to decorate the tree is just nonsense.
I'm just cracking up over the writer for this episode. They needed some excuse to get this guy out there, and they came up with the idea of giving him a tragic backstory just to get him outside. Like that's really funny to me,
but it's not really tragic. That's the
it's
funny
tragic
thing.
For
he's
him,
like, I didn't
guess.
Get to decorate the Christmas tree. Like, and he's so forlorn about not getting able to decorate the Christmas tree. It's so ridiculous.
I think really the real reason they wrote this scene is so he could say the line, "We've been snookered."
A Trojan rocking horse. We've been snookered.
And what I love too, like, so the G.I. Joes are confident that, like, they're shorthanded. They make a point of saying they're shorthanded this episode. And so they're like, it's all right. The Cobras, if they wanted to attack, they'll never get through our defense grid or whatever. And their defense grid is just like this giant, like, laser grid that, like, shows up over the entire base. And what I love is that because they shrink it down, they can fly in between, like, the little laser bars. It's just such a funny visual. Oh God! And what originally I thought was the best line of the show until it was beaten later on.
Season's greetings.
There's like so many potential like best lines moments in this episode. It's great.
Cobra is awesome. Worth mentioning that he's the same guy who does the voice for Starscream in Transformers. Very famous.
Oh really? Okay.
But yeah, classic. One of the best. Villain voices for sure. Up there with
it's like Momo. It's like season's greetings would have been like the cool line of the episode, but it's quickly replaced by
deploy the snake robots,
which don't even look like snakes. They don't resemble snakes at all. They're just blocky like robots.
And so okay, so we haven't seen any of the episodes. I think this is the 49th episode or something like that in the series.
39th.
So this is the 39th episode, and we haven't seen anything. But so I'm assuming that there's guys in there, that there are guys piloting the robots, but then they show that guy Duke like massacre this robot. And so at first I'm
yeah,
like,
Cover
oh,
Girl and Duke
just
like machine gun a few of them to death. Like,
yeah, he sticks his gun inside the viewing whatever glass, I guess. He smashes, then he sticks his gun in and then explodes the robot. But at first I'm thinking there's a guy in there. I'm like, wow, this is really violent.
He machine gunned that guy in the face.
So important distinction that the snake robots do not have pilots, I guess. So they're just automated, which is, I mean, kind of cool that they have this technology, I guess.
And like one of my favorite moments of the episode. So Cobra Commander like puts all the Joes in a meat locker because he has to make a Christmassy pun. It's Christmas time, so he's like, put them on ice. So many great puns in this episode. And and to gloat even further, he walks in, he taunts them, and then he's like, this is so fucking great. He's just like, he leaves the key for the handcuffs on a little hook by the door. It's like,
of course, the key to your handcuffs. I'll hang it right here, just out of reach. And while you reflect on my generosity, remember that more presents are coming your way. Tons of them!
Just leaves. This is after the guy, like, Shipwreck has already managed to, like, jump off, like, you know, the fucking hook or whatever.
Hold on,
so
we,
it's
we
like,
have to talk
this
about,
is like the cherry on top.
We have to talk about Shipwreck getting loose, because this is... I was cracking up. Like, so they're all...
Talk about fully posable, man.
They're all hung up by meat hooks in this ice locker or whatever, but then... This is what Shipwreck says. I wrote this down because I couldn't believe it. He says, and there's a giant piece of meat next to him, right? So he says...
Well, another thing to mention, I love that the fact that the Joes happen to have a meat locker in their headquarters.
That's right. That's they are in their headquarters. Too. So that means that this is part of their base.
I know.
That's so funny. But Shipwreck says...
You know, me and that side of beef could have a meaningful relationship.
And then... He wraps his legs around the meat, and then it cuts the scene. So that one scene is just him saying that and then wrapping his legs around the meat. And then when we come back...
And the enemy... Oh, God.
When we come back, there are vivid movements of his leg. Like, I get what it's doing, but as a kid, this would look really weird.
It looked weird to me now as an adult. Like, the way it was animated, like, his legs seemed like they, like, grew. Like, when as he was, like, around, like, the meat, it looked weird.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's talking about relationship with his meat, then he basically humps the meat to get free. I was just cracking up. It's so funny and bizarre. But yeah, it was so stupid when he hung up the key. I was dying.
I'm like, if this is what G.I. Joe is, I am 100% on board. I love this shit. Like it's like the writers, it's like, I just imagine the writers know what's going on. I mean, like, I really get a sense of like sarcastic humor in this show. Like, they know what they're making. Like, we are flat out just making a toy commercial to sell for kids. We might as well have some fun while we're doing it. Like, the writers know what they're doing, and I gotta imagine they probably had, I mean, I imagine when they initially started writing for the show, they were probably a little depressed. They probably felt a little bit like Shipwreck in this episode. Like, I got into this business to be a real writer, and now I'm fucking writing toy commercials for kids. But at some point, I gotta imagine they're just like, they were told, like, oh, we can do whatever we want as long as there are explosions. Okay, all right, let's experiment with this shit. Like, I definitely get, like, a really wry sense of humor from this show that it's, like, despite being a toy commercial, they were still having fun writing it.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I totally agree with you. I think that this idea of just putting these weird sidesteps the story takes is just like, I could just imagine the writers cracking up when they're
well, yeah, because it's so ludicrous. Like, watching it as an adult, I'm just like, it's kind of the feeling I get when I watch the 60s Adam West Batman show. It's like, there's like a whole nother level that the show is operating on that wouldn't be apparent to a kid watching it at the time. You know what I mean? There's like a whole layer of humor in this show that I think honestly plays to adults, because it's like the so bad it's good thing. But it's intentional, and it's interesting. We've talked about this in the past with like the Wolf Cop episode, that like when you're trying to be intentionally bad in order to make like a funny product, it doesn't work. You get shit like Birdemic and Sharknado, and it doesn't work. But it's like, you have to be earnest about it. But with this, it's kind of a different take on that so bad it's good thing, because they're trying to make something for kids, like a to sell toys. I guess it's like a hidden. This feels more like a hidden layer in this that operates like a so bad it's good. It's interesting watching this.
Yeah, there's
like, you know what I'm getting at?
There's a secret to doing this kind of thing. It's not easily done, right? You have to unlock the code of the language of your cartoon or your art or whatever. these guys unlocked it as far as these two episodes go. So. But
this show started in, like, I think it started as sort of a miniseries type thing in 1983, and then, like, I think 85 is when it became like a full-fledged show. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it's interesting. Like, I think that this show really, this was the first, right? This came before Transformers, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
So it's, I really get the sense that this sort of laid like the groundwork for all of these toy cartoons to follow.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, the G.I. Joe, I think, like, yeah, like you said, the four that like kind of laid that groundwork for these shows are like G.I. Joe, He-Man, and Transformers.
Transformers,
and,
yeah.
And then I don't know if Thundercats was in there, but yeah, those three are the big ones. But yeah, this episode kind of wraps up with the parrot. He becomes giant, and he turns into, I was thinking like he turns into a kaiju, and then and he swoops down and rescues a couple of the Joes when they're assaulting the city, which I guess they have to resolve on another episode or after the fact or behind the scenes or whatever. But yeah, it shows them.
I doubt that they resolve that because there's, yeah. So the Cobra's plan actually goes into effect and is somewhat successful for a little bit. Like they storm. Is it Hoboken, New Jersey? Is that where they go?
No. Okay. So you're getting mixed up. So what happens is the city that they attack is called Keystone City.
Oh, that's
but
right.
What happens with Hoboken is that when Cobra is on their way to Keystone, they ambush this truck driver or these two truck drivers, and he's reading an article that says Martians have landed in Hoboken.
That's right.
And I don't know what this means, but the guy who's reading the article, he's like, Martians landed in Hoboken. Newark, I could believe, but not Hoboken.
So. It kind of reminded me of that joke from the first Turtles movie where it's like, what the heck was that? It sort of looked like a big toidle in a trench coat. Like, I kind of got that vibe from that joke. But, okay, yeah, I'm mixing my wires. And I wouldn't be surprised if that Hoboken Martian angle plays into a later episode. We'll have to look into that.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do some research.
But the Cobras posing as the Joes, like, blow some shit up in Keystone City. And I love the little reactions we get from people. They're instantly like, oh, I thought those were the Joes.
Yeah, I thought they were supposed to be heroes.
Aren't Joes heroes?
Dad, aren't those the G.I. Joes? I thought they were heroes.
So did I, son. So did I.
And as you say, this is never technically resolved in the episode. They blow some shit up. The Joes come in using the Cobra equipment and vehicles and shit and save the day, obviously with the help of the giant bird. but yeah, it's never technically resolved. Like, you think you'd get like the end of the episode would be like a press conference where, like, you know, the guys, the main G.I. Joe guy is just like, Duke is his name, I think.
Yeah, Duke Hauser, I think they said.
Duke Hauser, I love it. Like, you think it ended with him, like, saying, you know, like, ah, oh, we saved the city, and they were posing as, you know, you figure it ended with, like, a press conference. I feel like that's such a common cartoon thing, is, like, something bad happens, and then there's a press conference at the end of the episode saying, don't worry, folks, it wasn't real the whole time.
Yeah, like, there's no resolution for the city folk. Like, they could have, they're left, the episode ends with them thinking that Joe actually did this.
But I think it's we'd have to look into it the next episode to see if it's addressed. But I have a feeling it's not. I feel like it's just cartoon logic where it's just like, well, no, like the audience knew that the good guys were still good. They weren't bad guys. You know what I mean? I feel like it's that.
Yeah, this episode, what you don't see after it ends is that the kid who saw this explosion carries that fear of Joe with him and grows up to
and
be the next Cobra Commander.
Yes.
This is the birth.
Because it's like the opening of, I imagine, like the other story going on in this is like the opening of Batman v Superman. You see this young kid as explosions are happening and buildings are toppling. Or it's the dad. Maybe the kid died in rubble. The dad just sort of looks up as he's holding his son. It's like the Joe jets fly overhead and he just sort of looks up and grimaces.
Yeah, so the guns that they shoot to other people are lasers, but they were firing real missiles, so they were
rockets. Yeah,
rockets and explode, and there were real explosions. So that kid could have died, and yeah, the dad is now bitter. So
that's the story that we don't see in this episode is a young child buried and crushed to death under rubble. That's the implication.
Yeah, I think I need to buy the DVD set because that's the director's cut of that episode.
That's the unrated version of G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. A lot of collateral damage. G.I. Joe, collateral damage. Coming to Fox Kids.
Yeah, that's about it for the episode. I think, like, we do get this shot that I don't know if this is important or not. I mean, from my experience in cartoons, this would be important. Like, this would be a one-time thing in the show. But we see CoverGirl give Duke a kiss. So I know that romance is not a big thing in these cartoons. So that I could imagine this being a noteworthy item in the episode.
I beg to differ. In our next episode, which we'll get to, I feel like romance does play a big part in these things. It seems like there's lots of fucking little relationships going on within the Joes and the Cobras. Mm.
Okay, so we'll debate that next episode. But there's one line I wanted to ask you because this stuck out to me. It's Shipwreck. Shipwreck kind of seems like a jerk, just based on this episode. But he's the parrot. He gets shrunk and then they regrow him with the gun, the molecular reducer enlarger. They put the parrot back to his normal size and he's like passed out, and Shipwreck lays him on a table and then he says,
"Oh, poor Polly. I'm gonna miss you during the battle with Cobra, pal, but not very much."
So I don't know if this, I think Shipwreck is a classic jerk. I think that's what this means.
Well, he's got to be the one hard ass on the group. You know, there's always a hard ass on the team.
Well, he's seen the terror of the sea. You know, he's been on these rocky boats
with his fucking traditional sailor's cap. I
can imagine
love that
him
shit.
Doing a speech like the guy in Jaws who said he delivered the bomb at Hiroshima.
Oh yeah,
Shipwreck is giving another speech like that, talking about some crazy mission he did in the past.
I went to assassinate Castro. It was 72 or something like that.
I was there on the boat, smoking my cigarette, watching the waves hit the side of the boat, staring down the rest of my future.
There's so many, like, again, watching this as an adult, there are so many, like, tangential things like that I can think of in my mind. Like there's just so many implications of that these characters present and all this stuff, like Shipwreck, for instance, and the character dynamics that we see. It's like there's got to be so much other shit going on under the surface that we don't see in the G.I. Joe cartoon.
All I can say is I want to see more. Like I want to watch more episodes. I just want to know more about these characters, because one episode's not enough. So we'll have one other episode, right, Dave?
We will, but also two lines is not enough. I mentioned there was the season's greetings line, and then it was surpassed by the "to play the snake robots" line. Well, even the snake robots line was surpassed for me. It was a 1-2-3, and the third time was definitely the charm with...
"Ooh, that witch has a way with a laser ray."
I'm like, I am so into the show. The lines are spectacular.
Yeah, I think that one, he said his name, I don't remember, but it seems like he rhymes when he speaks sometimes.
Oh, God. Well, I think it's clear to say we would both recommend Cobra Claws are coming to town.
Definitely a good... This is... Oh, another important thing to mention about this episode.
I love how we started with the Christmas episode of G.I.
That's what I'm saying. So this is a Christmas episode. Holiday episodes for all cartoons and all shows, in my opinion, from my experience, the odds are not in the favor of it being a good episode. But this was a good episode, so
well, because it's G.I. Joe, it's gotta have action. If it doesn't have action, it's not gonna sell, baby.
I'm just saying, in my experience with kids cartoons and TV shows like Power Rangers, I know a lot about Power Rangers, the Christmas episodes are usually not very good.
You know, I don't know, I beg to differ. Like I remember one of my I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite episodes of this, but I remember Justice League, the late 90s early 2000s Justice League cartoon. There's a Christmas episode where Batman takes like the Martian Manhunter with him to the Kent's house for Christmas. And like, it was actually kind of beautiful. We get some character stuff there where they're like, Martian Manhunter's all like, you know, "Oh, I'm a fucking Martian. People aren't going to accept me. Like, this is weird." But like, no, the Kents bring him in. They're like, nah, we're good with aliens, man. And then he like poses as like a human and just sort of walks around the town as everyone's doing Christmas stuff. And then he starts like, He's like, yeah, this Christmas thing's kind of cool. I disagree. Sometimes I think the Christmas episodes can be fun.
I'm not saying they're all bad, but let me ask you, did Batman let Martian Manhunter hang up his own stocking?
Yes, he did. Superman does. It's Superman, by the way. Superman, if I remember correctly, Superman does let Martian Manhunter put the star on top of the tree.
Okay, so he's allowed in the
festivities. If I remember correctly. I might be wrong, but I feel like I remember that happening in that episode.
All right, well, I might have to fact check you. I don't know, but we'll continue to watch Christmas episodes to settle this debate I'm starting about whether Christmas episodes.
In fact, all the cartoons we watch from here on will strictly be cartoon or it's Christmas episodes.
We're now Christmas cartoons only.
Only. Oh man, but that's gonna do it for this episode of Apocalypse Video. We don't have a CryptoCast moniker type name for G.I. Joe. Oh, here we go. Oh. Apocalypse Video, we were doing a real American podcast.
A what?
Apocalypse Video, the real American podcast. See, if you want to give this a moniker.
That's pretty good. Hopefully it's not taken. Or we could do CobraCast.
CobraCast. But yeah, this isn't, like we said, like, we love cartoons, we want to start branching out, we don't want to just limit it to, like, you know, one series all the way, we want to just start throwing just random episodes out. We got so many fucking tapes in this store for random cartoons, like, we don't want to just stick with one, we want all of them, we want all the toys!
Let us know what you want us to watch pretty much anything, I can't think of any things that I wouldn't, but I know that someday I'm going to make Dave watch the Wuzzles. Centurions and humanoids. We'll get there.
But these are all separate shows?
Oh yeah, those are all three separate shows.
Oh wow, I thought that was all from the same show. Okay. Some reason it sounded like it was from the same show. Okay. But that's gonna do it for this episode of Apocalypse Video, Saturday morning cartoon edition. We'll be back next time with G.I. Joe, Skeletons in the Closet. Nah. Season's greetings, Joes.
You shouldn't have.
Merry Christmas, Duke.
Son of a gun. It is Christmas, Junkyard. You know, all of a sudden, I don't feel bad anymore. Merry Christmas, you old hound dog.
Merry Christmas, Joes.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Bah, humbug.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.